Series coming to you from New Orleans this week. My name is Jeremy Chapman.
And I'm Mark Kessler.
Hello, Mark. So we're talking about something near and dear to a lot of people in terms of data management. So how do we really control the way that data is used?
Well, data is everywhere, right? Email, documents, link conversations, instant messaging. You want to be able to protect that data before it goes out. And if somebody's done anything wrong, you want to be able to discover it and do something
right,
about it.
Right, so we got a lot of great technologies with the new versions of Exchange and SharePoint and the online versions to do things like eDiscovery.
Yeah, so eDiscovery, you've got the new eDiscovery Center in SharePoint, which reaches out to Exchange, Link, and SharePoint to be able to discover content
right.
Where it is in place. And if you get to the point where you're exporting it, we're trying to minimize that footprint to reduce the costs of legal and
making
and,
things a lot more efficient in terms of legal, you know, people looking for files instead of sifting through terabytes of data. We can filter that down to maybe a gigabyte or two.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
if it's $10,000 a gig to process the files, you're saving a lot of money at the end of the day.
That's right.
So we're doing that as well as things like data loss prevention. So people can actually save themselves, or we can save people from themselves by preventing mail traffic when we don't want that to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Lots of tools to be able to protect yourself and, of course, protect your company.
And being in New Orleans, we actually put that to the test because we had to let somebody try to send something and we tried to save them from themselves as well.
Yeah, yeah, and this guy needed a ton of saving.
Right, so before we get started, let's have a look at today's trivia question.
True or false? In a hybrid environment, eDiscovery will work across on-premises and hosted Exchange services.
So stay tuned for the answer at the end of the show. So eDiscovery.
Yeah, so eDiscovery, data's everywhere, right? You got the end user sending emails, working with their documents, instant message conversations.
So when you think about the data topology, we've got our user, and he's going to be working on things like email, of course, which is going to have a lot of content.
Yeah.
He's also going to be storing things in sites like in SharePoint, and he's probably going to have some conversations and things like Link and having instant messaging and meetings, all those types of things. So we need to make sure that we can look over all of these repositories, right?
Yeah, so we don't want him to stop being productive, but at the same time, if we're having an audit put on us or a compliant measure that we need to follow up on, we need to be able to look into their inbox, look into their document libraries, and certainly their instant messages.
Right.
So from a SharePoint eDiscovery Search Center, we're going to use the power of Enterprise Search to be able to look across all of these different types of files and communication devices, but we're going to keep them in place. So email stays in Exchange, the documents stay in SharePoint, and your instant messages, which actually get stored in Exchange as well, stay
right.
in place.
So we have metadata really tracking everything back to the theme of the content itself, the user, and you know anything, maybe if it's a code name or something else they're working on, we can find all of that through just normal, what we used to call fast search, but now enterprise
search. Yeah, it's all powered by Enterprise Search, which is, of course, based on our FAST technology.
Great. So let's have a look at that in action.
Yeah. Let me show you a demo. So first thing I want to show you here is going to the Legal Discovery Center and basically putting a hold on a piece of content.
Right.
So this is our legal center that we have set up, and I've got a case already set up for the Northwind Traders. And I used a keyword, smoking, that I'm going to show you what it found and how we put a hold on. So we pointed it at a document library. You could include a number of document libraries in people's inboxes. And I'm enabling it a hold, and I'm just going to preview what content it found based on that keyword. So it found a couple of files, and it actually found the file that it's now put on hold, which is your original file,
right.
Which is a PowerPoint document. I'm going to take a look at it here, what it looks like, and you'll see why we put this one on hold, why it found it to be incriminating.
Okay, well, it looks familiar. Oh,
yeah.
Okay. I gotta make a change here. Sorry, Mark.
Oh, yeah. Good luck to make the change.
All right. So I don't want anybody to know that I don't like you. So let me find our file here. And all right. So let's get rid of this slide.
So you're going to try to delete that slide?
Exactly. I'm going to try to delete this one. I'm going to cut it. All right, I'm going to save my file.
Okay.
Now it's completely gone, right?
Sure. So from the end user perspective, it looks like they've cleaned their tracks, cleaned up something that they didn't want to have found. But if we actually go back into that preservation hold library, you're actually going to see that that file is untouched because obviously the end user didn't have access to where we put it. And even to take that a step further, if somebody were to come to the preservation hold library itself, they wouldn't be able to do any harm. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to show you those same results, same files that we found, go into that preservation hold library, and the change that you thought you were making to cover your tracks or to make nice to me is actually still in this original file.
Right, and there were two versions of the file, so somebody even changed the file in the preservation hold.
That's right. So if I try to actually go in here with admin permissions, change this file in the preservation hold, it will only version it.
Very good. So that is something that we can use to kind of reactively look for stuff in case we know what we want to look for.
Auditing, compliance, e-discovery.
But we're also doing a bunch of work around making sure that people can be protected from themselves.
Yeah.
So data loss prevention and really Exchange and using the power of the back end of Exchange to really help people help themselves.
Yeah, and I think we're going to see an example of somebody who really
and
needs
help.
And
we did that here in New Orleans because anything can happen. So let's take a look.
Awesome.
So I'm here outside the Touche Bar in New Orleans. Could be any bar, really. I wanted to test if Office could save the best of us from ourselves. After a few drinks, let's go inside. So it looks like we may have found somebody who needs saving from themselves. He seems mild-mannered enough, but after a few drinks, maybe not so. So he's just opened up Outlook, and now he is writing an email to somebody outside of his organization. Looks like he's going to send his boss's credit card information. There's a credit card number. But it looks like Outlook hit him with a policy tip to show he's doing something he probably shouldn't be doing, but he knows that, so let's see what he does now. Back in Outlook, it's back to the desktop. And now he's going to create a text document. Let's see what he's up to. He just added the credit card number in the text document. Save that. And now it looks like he's sending that to a zip file. I think I know where he's going with this. Copying the zip file. Now he's back in Outlook again. I think he might try to do the same thing, but attach the zip file into his mail. So let's see what he does. Same address, outside the organization. And now he's changing the subject line by the looks of it, just to get rid of the credit card text. Added the zip file, so that should work. Oh, even the policy tip fired then, as it mounted the zip file and saw the text inside the zip file and saw that he was doing something he shouldn't be. So let's see what he does now. So now he's inside of the Outlook web app. And he's going to add the zip file to that by the looks of it. Into the file, attaching it. He's hitting send. Sent the file out. It got out of the outbox. But wait a minute. It returned back to bounce back because Exchange actually blocked that mail at the back end. So it doesn't matter really what mail client he was using. It blocked that message from the Exchange server side. So this time Exchange was able to save our friend from himself. Nice try. So it looks like this was Mr. Deal with its lucky day. Exchange and Office 365 saved him from himself. Wow, so that was data loss prevention at work, really blocking that user no matter what he was doing, whether he's trying to just send that credit card in plain text, attach it in a zipped file, or use a web app in that case to send it out, it was blocked by Exchange at the back end. So how to get all of this data loss prevention stuff working? I've got Bharat Suneja, who will come and explain that and show us a demonstration. Welcome, Bharat.
Hi, Jeremy.
Hello, welcome to the garage.
Thanks.
So let's see a demonstration about how to get all of this configured and really what I can do with data loss prevention.
Absolutely. So let's go take a quick look at how data loss prevention works, how easy it is to set this up.
All native to Exchange, right?
That is right, Exchange 2013, Exchange Online.
Right.
So we're going to go to our Exchange Admin Center, a web-based console. We go to Compliance Management.
Okay.
And Data Loss Prevention.
So I see a couple of rules already configured.
Yes, but we're going to go ahead and create a new rule.
Okay.
Just so that you know how this easy it is. We're going to create a new custom DLP policy.
Right. So there's a bunch of templates already stored in Exchange that we can use. You know, internationally even, there's a bunch of stuff if I'm in Germany or wherever.
So different compliance regulations, we have pre-built templates. We ship about 40 templates for that.
Right.
But in addition to that, you'll see we ship rules for sensitive information like credit card numbers and so on.
So here we're doing a custom rule.
So we created a custom rule, and we're going to go ahead and select the conditions and then the actions that the DLP policy should take when the condition is met.
Okay.
So it's kind of like transport rules, but it's much more broader than that.
And it has policy tips, right, that we saw in the video.
Yes, so the client will show. So here's the pre-built templates that you can select from to block, you know, based on Canadian regulation, German regulation, U.S. regulation, and here's the credit card number.
Right.
So I selected a credit card number, and that's all I need to do. And now I'll say what to do if a credit card number is found in an email.
Right.
And it's deep content inspection.
Okay.
So no matter whether you zip the file or however you send it, we're going to find it. So this is the bounce message. When we block it, this is what the user is going to see.
He's going to see a custom message from the IT Exchange admin that tells him what he's doing wrong.
Yes, you can tell them what to what not to do, and whether it's a policy violation or whatever.
Right, so once that's all set up then, basically once everything propagates and the user starts to send mails, even when he attempts to do things in Outlook, if he's using the rich client, it will show him tips?
Yes. In Outlook 2013, it's going to show him the policy tips.
Right. What we see there on the left, we can either enforce it or not enforce it and just have the tips show, all that stuff. So it's really up to you how you configure it.
Yes. And if he's not using Outlook 2013, he's using a mobile browser or a mobile device, then the mouse, the message just bounces back.
Terrific stuff. And a real good evolution of the transport rules we had in the last versions of Exchange.
Yes. It really helps your organization secure its data.
Right, so we had a trivia question earlier. Let's take a look at the answer.
True or false? In a hybrid environment, e-discovery will work across on-premises and hosted Exchange services.
So the answer is true, right?
That's right. You can search in a hybrid environment across on-premises and in the cloud, and that's how we're putting in, you know, hardening data defenses in SharePoint and Exchange.
Right, and for SharePoint, is it a little bit different?
So in SharePoint, it's a little different. It's the same process whether you do e-discovery online or on-premises, but you would have to do them separately and then combine your results.
Excellent, thank you guys. So that's all the time we have for today. Please see us on Microsoft.com/garage, and thanks for watching.